right, fantastic. Good singing this morning. Again, good to see each and every one of you. I think that you are probably more rested than ever as you got an extra hour sleep last night. Did any of you take advantage of that? Well, I know one that did not. I got my phone rang this morning, and Eric was wondering why I wasn't at the deacon's meeting. And he was here, and he said, "Art's always here. Where's Art? Where's the music team? Where's everybody?" He said I could pick on him. So he was here early. Now, we hope that doesn't happen in the spring or he'll miss most of church. But, Eric, we appreciate you. I'm just teasing with you. I think every time there's a clock change, somebody has an issue with those things. Even myself this morning, I told Joanna, it did change, right? You know, you're looking at the clock on the oven there and you're like, wait, what is going on here? Is it really this time or that time? I don't know. But appreciate you being here this morning, and it's always good to be together. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. I know you were expecting Ephesians 6, but it's Romans 5 for just a moment this morning because we are celebrating the Lord's Supper, communion, which was instructed by Christ to us to do as often as we remember Him for what He has done. And we all, our minds need to come back to remember what it's all about. Why are we here? Who are we worshiping? Christianity is not just a social club, right? This is about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, about what He has done for us in cleansing us from our sin and providing a way for eternal life before a holy, righteous God in which we could not have without Him. And so we are reminded on days such as this to turn our hearts and minds once again to the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message this morning is going to focus upon one specific theme, and that is the verses in Scripture that deal with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in Leviticus 17:11, the Bible says that God tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and that it was given as a sacrifice or an atonement for sins. We recognize that the reason Christ died for our sins and shed His blood is because death was required for a penalty for sin. And that was certainly set up all throughout the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus as spotless lambs were offered for sacrifice for the sins that were committed as a remembrance and a reminder of sin for the people. But we understand, according to the book of Hebrews, that these animal sacrifices could never take away sin, but ultimately they were looking forward and pointing to a sacrifice that would remove sin, and that was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll look at that through this morning. I won't preach a real long time because I want to have us to have time to have an opportunity to reflect upon what Christ has done for us. So I got the talking and forgot to turn to the passage myself. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9, where the Bible says this: "Much more than," the Bible says, "being now justified," a declaration of God. I explain that verse all the time, that word all the time. The Bible says we are justified by His blood. We'll see this morning the things that has been provided for us because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and His work upon the cross. The Bible says much more than being now justified by His blood, by His death. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. I read this verse last week in reference to the peace of God. It says in verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His wrath." Number one, I'm justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a legal term that I've explained many times before, that God has justified me or declared me not guilty of my sin because of my faith in Jesus Christ and His work and His blood that was shed for me. I am justified by the blood of Christ. Take your Bibles this morning again and go to the book of Hebrews chapter number 9. As you're turning there, I read a story this week about two brothers that were out hiking in a wilderness area, and they came across some quicksand type area, and they fell into it. And as the family came and began to try to search and find the boys, they found the one son with his head barely above the quicksand. And they quickly dug him out, and as they were digging him out, they said, "Son, where is your brother?" And he responded by saying, "I'm standing on his shoulders." The brother had saved the other brother by allowing him to stand upon his shoulders to be saved from sinking into the sand. So it is true also in our lives, our salvation, we are standing upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not upon our own work. The reason we have been forgiven of our sins, the reason that we have what we have, is because Christ gave himself for us, that we would be given the very righteousness of Christ imputed to our account, and that we would be declared not guilty of our sin. So I am justified by the work of Christ. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 22 says this. It says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins." Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Go back to verse 12 of chapter 9. The Bible says, "Neither by the blood of bulls and of calves, but by his own blood," speaking of Jesus Christ, "but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." That's speaking of Jesus Christ. There wasn't multiple offerings that needed to be offered by Christ. He offered himself one time, the Bible says. Once he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now look at this in verse number 13. "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes of a heifer sprinkling upon unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh," verse 14, "how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Through Christ, through the work of the cross, through the shedding of his blood, he has declared us righteous before God because of his work. And the Bible says in Romans 5 that I've already read, we are saved from wrath, we are justified by his blood. Number two this morning, go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. I am justified through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood. Along the same lines, in verse number 7 of Ephesians 1, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. The Bible says this, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." Jesus. Again, his work. "We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." The age-old question of mankind, how can I be forgiven of my sins? How is it that I can be forgiven? And all kinds of religions come up with all kinds of different ideas. Oh, most of them involve some sort of good works or some sort of man-filled effort. Some people would say, well, baptism provides that. Some people say, well, living a good righteous life, that provides you forgiveness of sins. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, I have redemption through his blood, through Christ. John 3 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then he goes on to say, whoever believes in him has eternal life. It's about Christ. You are not forgiven, and I am not forgiven of my sins by any means other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the old hymn say? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Christ. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, the song says. And aren't you glad I'm not singing that, right? And so the water in a baptismal tank doesn't wash away anything. It is Christ and what he has done. We have received forgiveness of sin, the Bible says, through Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. I'm justified by the blood of Christ. I am forgiven because of the blood of Christ. No merit of my own, but because of what Christ has done. Now, go back to the book of Romans one more time. Back to the same verse we were just in. I want to pay a little attention to the end of that verse, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. Romans 5 and verse number 9, where the Bible once again says this, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Listen to this. Imagine for a moment in your mind, and this imagination is true, knowing that God knows every thought you've ever thought. He knows every sin you've ever committed. And I've made light of this before, but I would imagine if I were to ask for a volunteer this morning to come up here and allow me to hook your brain to a machine that would read your thoughts for the past hour, and we would display it on the screen, I wonder who would volunteer first, right? Yeah, Ray, go ahead, come on up here. And so, you know, God knows all our thoughts. Can you imagine, without Jesus Christ, that you are subject to the wrath of God, who knows your disobedience, who knows our thoughts, our actions, and all that we've ever done? The Bible says because of what Jesus Christ has done, because Jesus Christ took our wrath upon the cross, that we are saved from the wrath of God if we have come to Christ by faith because of his blood. The Bible says much more than being now justified through his blood, we are saved from wrath through him or because of Jesus Christ. Because of what Christ has done. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Could you imagine for a moment standing before a holy, righteous God? On your own merit? On your own ability? Could you imagine, as Romans says, that every mouth will be stopped in the sight of God? We have nothing to say that can save ourselves, that can validate our own forgiveness other than Jesus Christ. Imagine some of the things that man may try to say to a holy God that knows everything. Imagine standing before God. You say, "Why should I allow you into my presence?" You say, "Well, I helped my neighbor a lot." Close your mouth. I got baptized 27 times. Right? Close your mouth. No. That is not accepted. I showed you the way of salvation. I gave you prophecies concerning my son. I have demonstrated and illustrated his work all throughout Scripture. And there is one way in which to be forgiven of sin. There is one way to be spared from the wrath of God, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's in him. So I'm justified by the blood of Christ. I'm forgiven because of the blood of Christ. And I'm spared from the wrath of an almighty God that knows everything. Remember when Moses was getting the Ten Commandments? He says, just turn. He comes down from the mountain. He's glowing. Imagine trying to stand before a holy God on your own merit. But because of Jesus Christ, I am saved from the wrath through him. I'm not an enemy of God. I have been forgiven. So I am justified by his blood. I am forgiven by his blood. And I'm spared from the wrath of God through the blood of Christ. Go back just a couple chapters to Romans chapter number 3. Romans 3 and verse number 24. Again, the same idea, the same words, the same language being used here. Christian, listen to me. Who are you depending upon for salvation? You cannot save yourself. It's in Christ alone. He is the only one that can save. So in Romans chapter 3, some of my favorite portions of Scripture, as you well know by now, he says in Romans 3, 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation." The word propitiation means payment. God set forth Christ to be a payment for sin. Only Christ can pay for sin. God set him forth to be a payment for sin through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. There's all kinds of things we could talk about in verse number 25, but he's talking about here that God has provided a way, God has provided a payment for sin, and that payment is Christ. It's not your works, it's not your baptism, it's not your good behavior, it's the work of Jesus. That was what was provided. That is who was provided. And the Bible says, through the redemption, to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. So no wonder Christ instructs us to remember his blood that was shed and his body that was given for us. Because of his blood, I've been justified because of his work. I've been forgiven because of Christ. I've been spared from the wrath of God because of Christ. I have peace with God because of Christ. I want to read you a little excerpt that I was reading by Arthur Bennett in the Valley of Vision. He wrote this, "O Lord God, teach me to know grace proceeds, accompanies and follows my salvation, that it sustains my redeemed soul, that not one link of its chain can ever break. From Calvary's cross, wave upon wave of grace reaches me. This grace deals with my sin. This grace washes me clean. It renews my heart. It draws my affection. It kindles a flame in my soul. It consecrates my every thought, word, and work. It teaches me thy immeasurable love. How great are my privileges in Christ Jesus. Without him I stand far off, a stranger and an outcast. In him I draw near and touch his kingly scepter." And then he continues by saying this, and I love this portion. "Without him I dare not lift my guilty eyes. In him I gaze upon my Father, God, and friend. Without him, I hide my lips in trembling shame. In him, I open my mouth in petition and praise. Without him, all is wrath and consuming fire. In him, all is love and repose of my soul. Without him is gaping hell below and eternal anguish. In him, its gates are barred to me by his precious blood. Without him, darkness spreads its horrors in front. In him, an eternity of glory in my boundless horizon." We're almost done. "Without him, all within me is terror and dismay. In him, every accusation is charmed into joy and peace. Without him, all things eternal call for my condemnation. In him, he is my comfort and peace, and are to be enjoyed with thanksgiving. Praise be to thee for grace and for the unspeakable gift of Jesus." We celebrate this morning what we call the Lord's Supper as we celebrate the blood of Christ that was shed for us, his body that was given for us so we could have salvation in him. I know even as a 44-year-old person, I turned 45 this month, actually. It's terrible. But we don't think of dying, really. I think about it all the time. But we understand that death will come to all men without exception. Unless the Lord returns, all of us will die. And all of us will spend eternity in one of two places, according to Scripture. We will either be separated from God in hell because we have not trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior, or we will spend eternity in heaven because we have put our faith and trust in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. That's not religion. That's not man's ideas. That's what God has revealed in Scripture. That's all that matters, is what God has said in his Word. And he has told us that the way for salvation, the way for forgiveness and peace and reconciliation is through the work of the cross. in what Jesus did for man upon that cross. So we celebrate today what Christ has done for man in shedding his blood and giving his life that we can live and have forgiveness of sins. Let's bow our heads together for just a moment. Joanna and Bethy are going to go to the piano and violin and play something for us. Now go ahead and ask the men to come up in preparation for the Lord's table. But can we just take a moment as they come? Let's bow our heads together. And in our hearts, can we praise Christ for his forgiveness, for his work on the cross on behalf of man, for his justification, for his forgiveness, for sparing us from the wrath of God, for the peace he's given us through his blood. Take a moment there in your heart and talk to the Lord, giving praise to him for all he has done for us. You're standing upon his shoulders. Bow our heads together one more time in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blood of Christ. We thank you for the work that he has accomplished for man upon the cross. Lord, if any have never trusted in Christ as their Savior for forgiveness of sin, may the Holy Spirit of God work in their heart and show them the sinfulness of sin and the greatness of Christ. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for salvation. And Lord, we thank you that when we do leave this earth, that because of Jesus Christ, we'll have eternal life in heaven. We thank you for the truths of your word. We thank you for each and every one that was with us this day. May the Holy Spirit work each and every